Okay, welcome everybody back to the 911 Truth Teleconference. We've got a pretty full agenda tonight, so let's get started with, first of all, the thing we always do in the first place, which is to confirm the minutes dutifully posted and circulated by our trusty secretary, Craig. You should have got them about 3 weeks ago. And does anybody have any amendment for the minutes? Hearing none, then we'll take the minutes as approved. We are now ready for looking at tonight's agenda. There has been, hi, who's here?
Hi, this is Anna Geisley. Sorry I'm late.
Okay. You got Anna, Craig? Okay. So, looking at tonight's draft agenda, does anybody have any amendments or suggestions for the agenda before we proceed?
This is Anna Geisley. I had said last call, or it was suggested that I would update everybody on what's happening with the Virginia State Legislature.
Virginia State Legislature update. Okay. Can we just put that with the announcements? Will that work?
Oh, sure. Just
we've got official announcements at the end, so before we leave, we'll have to have one to take care of that. Okay.
Sounds good.
Does anybody else have any amendment for the?
Yes, I do. This is Sheila Casey. I move that the 9/11 Citizens Commission campaign report be structured in the following way: a statement or statements from George, Susan, and Ken, not to exceed 5 minutes. And a Q&A session to be formatted by questions not to exceed 30 seconds and answers not to exceed 1 minute.
Okay, that was pretty straightforward. Does everybody understand the proposed amendment to the agenda? Are there any objections to changing that, formatting that part of the?
This is Barbara. As long as we could revisit that, you know, after the Q's and A's and vote again if anybody thinks it should be continued.
Well, anytime we set anything in for the agenda, once we get to that point in the thing, if there's a supermajority vote, we can always extend the time or change the formatting right there on the spot if there's a solid majority, a supermajority, okay? That's just a two-third majority. Okay? All right. So is there any, if there's no objection to Sheila, can I request that you amend your proposal to volunteer to be the timekeeper for that then, since it's going to require quite a bit of timekeeping?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay. With no objection then, that's the way we'll handle that part of the agenda tonight when we get to the 9/11 report, the 9/11 CC campaign report. Okay then. If there's no other amendments to the agenda, then I take it that we approve the agenda as amended, and we're ready to proceed. Our first item on the agenda is a follow-up report on communication with Graham McQueen regarding the Toronto hearings, and that would be from Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I've got that. I spoke to him, or I emailed him right after our call, and he told me that the DCD would be ready at the end of February or early in March, and that at some undetermined time there would be 20 hours of coverage on the website. So just an expanded version, I guess, of 5 hours. But he didn't have a date for that. Also, the written report, he said, is coming along more slowly because they're still waiting for submissions from some people. So he didn't have any date for that at all. I did email him last week and just to double check that nothing had changed. So what he said was, although there always seem to be complications, so the DVD production has slowed a bit. Still, I've seen a rough cut, so it's almost done. And he said they'll be announcing on the Toronto hearings website how you can purchase a copy of that. And then he says the written report is much slower to assemble and edit, I'm afraid, so I'm not going to give a time estimate. So that's what I got from Graham.
Great. Any questions or comments about that before we go to the next item?
One question. I'm sorry, Barbara. I didn't understand the last part because the communication is not that very good on the phone. Can he repeat the last part?
Sure. I think the last part was just referring to the final report of the Toronto hearings, which they're working on, but they don't have any dates in mind yet for when that might be finished, because they're still waiting for submissions from some of the participants. So they, you know, that could be a while. I get the feeling that that's not something that's imminent.
Oh, okay, okay. I got it. I got it. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Barbara. I do have a question. I didn't quite hear you. What did he say about the 20 hours? Did I hear you say that they don't have a time for when that will be on the website? The unedited?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That's right. He also pointed out that the 20 hours is not everything. I guess that's fairly clear, I guess. But he said it, even that's sort of edited down. So not absolutely everything that we've already seen on the site will make it into that. But
right.
He did say the production values are higher for the stuff that's going to make it onto the DVD and onto the website than what we saw with the live broadcast.
Right.
Craig, are you using a remote phone by any chance or a microphone or something?
I beg your pardon?
Are you using a remote phone or a microphone or something like that?
No, I'm speaking right into my cell phone. Is it hard to hear me?
Yeah,
it's very difficult.
It's breaking up. It's breaking up part of it.
Okay, let me, if you give me 30 seconds, maybe I can switch phones.
Well, that's okay. We don't want you to take off right in the middle of this segment because this is your segment.
Okay.
But maybe after this segment you can switch phones. Anybody else have a comment or a question on this issue? We're just about at time for it. That was a very complete report. Thanks so much, Craig. Okay, let's move on then. Craig, if you want to switch phones, I'm going to go to Dwayne Dietz, okay, before we get to your next one.
Okay.
Dwayne, oh, no, wait a minute. We need you here because you're the secretary. I forgot about that. Why don't you just hang on. Dwayne has a follow-up report on communication with Howard Cohen. Are you on the phone? You're on the line, right, Dwayne? Yeah, I heard you earlier.
Yes, I am.
A follow-up report on communication with Howard Cohen regarding the script for his new film.
Yes, I did get a follow-up communication. Most notably, they've changed director. The new director is Raphael Monserrat. I guess it's pronounced like that. And I don't know what happened to the previous director, Matthew Kasovitz. I asked Howard what happened, and I didn't get a response back. And they do not have a schedule to start filming firmed up. So sounds to me like quite a disruption to what they had.
Do you know how much have they raised already for the movie?
I understood that it was funded.
Yep.
But that may have fallen through because his comment is the business manager has dollar contacts for $500K to $1 million. So it could be that some funding fell through and then they're back in the mode of trying to get their funding lined up. I don't know. And the other thing is that Howard is basically saying they want to not go outside of what the consensus panel has consensus points on. So he's taking a more conservative view, I believe. That's my report.
Wait, conservative view on the production itself or
the topics.
Oh, the topics.
Yeah, see, they wrote the script. They got the script. The script has been updated, and there was concern on the previous telecon or the telecon before last that they may have cut out some things, particularly relative to the Pentagon, that was of concern to people. And so that was fed back to Howard, and now I think Howard is is just making a statement that it's going to not be bringing up topics that does not have the support of the consensus panel points behind it. And I didn't query him any more on that.
Do you think they're going to shrink a lot from the Pentagon itself?
Yeah. Well, they had completely removed anything about the flight associated with the Pentagon or non-flight.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they had removed April Gallup's mentioning of her testimony. So we were concerned, we on the telecon, a number of people were, that they may have struck some parts of it that might end up being a little bit more controversial.
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
I didn't even know that they were going to have anything from April Gallup on it, but that's a price to me.
This is Barbara. The original script that I was involved with David Ray Griffin in the editing and input, had a long section on April Gallup. It's not clear to me from the emails I've had back and forth with Howard whether that is still in or not, because it has nothing to do with plane. They're trying to stay away from the plane or plane. And originally, the inside explosion with April's testimony was in. It's not clear if it's still in. But if the consensus panel guidelines or points are going to be the limits, then it will be out.
I got it.
Yeah, Don Vasilian just got in on the phone.
Okay.
I heard two new people. Come on.
Okay. Craig. You got Don Vasilian? Did you get him?
Yeah.
Craig. Okay. And who else just came on the call?
This is Aldo Marquis with Citizen Investigation Team.
Hi, Aldo.
Welcome. Okay. Did you get him, Craig?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody else on the call that we don't have on the roll yet? Okay. All right. Anything else on this question of the movie before we move on?
Yeah, Robin Horton.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, part of what I am concerned about this upcoming film, in that it is coming out of Hollywood, is that there will be a...
You're breaking up, Robin. We can't hear you.
My concern is that there'll be an avoidance of anything to do with Israel or the Mossad or the dancing Israelis or Larry Silverstein or whatever. And because it's coming out of Hollywood. And now that it is the consensus panel, even though all of the facts regarding the dancing Israelis are...
Yeah, we're losing your voice from time to time. It's fading out, okay, just to let you know.
Actually, it's clear here.
Yeah, clear to me, too.
Clear. I hear it breaking apart. But I understand your concern of what you're saying. This is Willie Rodriguez. But at the same time, dealing directly with Hollywood is not an easy task. And you have to understand that if they're going to break ground one way or the other, that will be way too intensive for people to digest right from the beginning. And I had, for example, one of the Hollywood actors here.
No offense, but because this is only a report, okay, we'll have the time at the end for discussion,
okay.
But this isn't for discussion. This is only to get the feedback that Dwayne was supposed to get for the call, okay?
Okay.
There'll be open discussion later, but we're reaching the end of time for this, and we've got a very full agenda, okay? So unless anybody else has a question for Dwayne, if you have a question for Dwayne, you can ask it. Otherwise, please postpone your discussion or your opinion until we get to general discussion, okay?
Yeah, I have a question for Dwayne.
Can I really quick, can I just touch in? Because I've got some intimate knowledge about the movie and the script.
If it's a report rather than opinion, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is factual information. I'm close friends with one of our supporters is a gentleman named Scott McKenzie, who is a television director for ABC currently. He currently works on General Hospital, the soap opera. and he was working very closely with Howard for a bit of time. And he had actually forwarded him, you know, the script, actually two versions of the script. So I have pretty intimate knowledge of what's in that script, and I can tell you the second part of this, or the second script, definitely did not have anything to do with the Pentagon. You know, there's a lot of, to me, there's a lot of factual issues that they're dealing with, and that they're not actually addressing. And I tried to get, you know, there was actually one script change that was made specifically because of my of something I had said. So clearly, I figured my opinion and as well as Scott's opinion is valued. But apparently, they've cut Scott, and they're not working with Scott. And they're not covering the Pentagon, as far as I know. So unless somebody asks some different information, this movie is going to be pretty much Pentagon light and 9/11 truth light.
Okay, thanks for that. Anybody else have a question for Dwayne or
information? Yeah, I have a question for Dwayne.
Okay.
This is Sheila. I was just wondering, Dwayne, if they gave you any reason for why they are so closely aligning themselves with the consensus panel.
Well, the only reason is that they wanted to have what the word was solid, kind of a place to go, a website that has the background information that people can go to that is referenceable and stuff. And so that was something that was important to them. And the consensus panel offered that.
And when you say them, that would be Howard and who else?
Well, Howard is the only one I interact with, so I don't know who else. Well, okay. he mentioned David Ray Griffin, so I presume that he is keeping in contact with David on this. I don't know.
Is Barbara Honegger part of the panel?
No, I was not invited to be part of the panel.
Okay, that's.
Okay, so let's postpone further discussion until we get to our open discussion because we've still got quite a few things to cover here, okay?
This is Barbara. Was that Willie asking the question?
Yeah, that was Willie.
That was me.
Yeah, I would just like one sentence more. Professor Griffin, we're very close, and we email all the time. And even though I'm not part of the, I'm not a panelist, I am involved with the process. That's all I can say.
Okay. So with that, and let's move on to our next agenda item, which is our, we might call it our feature presentation for tonight. We have with us, I think, I didn't hear Susan chime in. Are you here, Susan?
Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Okay. George Ripley, who's the treasurer, Susan Surfer, who's the vice president, and Ken Jenkins, who is the president of the Citizens 9/11 Commission Campaign Board of Directors. As most of you know, there has been some controversy in the campaign lately, and the campaign is trying to reorganize itself to move on in a forward direction, and they're here to share both aspects of their work with us tonight in accordance with the amendment to the agenda. They'll be giving a statement. I assume it's a joint statement, right, folks? You're giving a joint statement before you get started?
Well,
Or are you giving individual statements?
Individual statements, yes.
Okay. Then, individual statements should be about a minute and a half each, or not to exceed a minute and a half or so each, okay? But then there'll be ample time for discussing it. Question, okay?
Well, Ken, how do you want me to enforce the time here? Because I was going to do five minutes with the entire.
Yeah, I know. I understood that they were doing. I understood they were doing a joint statement. So I guess if they're doing individual statements, is that going to work for y'all? If we just give you 2 minutes each to speak your piece, and then we'll go ahead and do questions and answers. Will that work?
Well, actually, Ken Jenkins here. I'm just here for Q&A. So George and Susan can each take the whole 5 minutes.
Good enough. All right. So maybe when you get to the 2.5 mark for the first speaker, Sheila, you could let them know so that the other speaker gets some time, and then we'll go into question and answer, okay?
Okay, I'll do that at 2.5.
This is George. Okay. I don't expect to be very long-winded.
All right. Well, do you want to start then, George, and then we'll just yield the rest of the time to Susan? Susan can start? Okay. All right.
Well,
go ahead, Susan.
Actually, I'm scrambling. I didn't know I had such a short period of time, so I'll try and summarize.
Go long.
I can't. Anyway, you know, I came on the board in light of vacancy of Mike Revelle's resignation, and worked on the Massachusetts campaign. And found much to my surprise and delight that simply having a piece of paper certified by our Attorney General, many citizens felt free to talk for the first time about the lies behind 9/11. That was a success. And to be honest, it was unanticipated, and frankly, we were not prepared to run a full-force ballot initiative in Massachusetts. The groundwork for a successful ballot initiative needs to be laid out for about 2 years. In Massachusetts, we had less than a month's advance planning. So contrary to what Mike Revelle has said, we did not fail. And staying the course with better planning, we will succeed. Now, Mike Revelle withdrew his support immediately following his return from Europe, and that was before any major disagreements with the board. He's been heavily invested in NI4D, that's the National Initiative, for around 16 years, and has constantly promoted the National Initiative in just about every speech. And he was invited to contribute in formulating the ideas of 9/11 CC, but he did not found 9/11 CC. He did a lot of work for us, very much appreciated, with the paperwork for the California Recipient Committee, obtaining our ERN number, and opening the bank account, getting a webmaster, accountant, and an attorney to file the 501c4 papers. However, all of this was in the name of Citizens 9/11 Campaign Commission.
10 seconds.
Okay. So upon his returning from Europe, he resigned. And following the rest, okay.
No, that's okay. Let's finish it up because we still got to give some time to George. Go ahead, Susan. Just finish it off real quick.
Okay. Well, we also had discovered that he withdrew. He wanted to park our funds in the National Initiative to meet the California Recipient Committee regulations. The board voted that down, and that's when the discord began. And eventually, we discovered he withdrew $25,000 in a cashier's check. And that's where we are today. I suppose the rest of what I wanted to address can be addressed in the question answer period.
Okay. Well, let George finish up the time, then go ahead, George.
Well, okay. So you said some wonderful things there. I'm sure, I hope everybody heard that point of view that we didn't fail in Massachusetts. We learned some lessons about how excited people get when a real opportunity is presented to them, and that's exactly what we did. Next time we'll hopefully be in a much better position knowing the things we know now. I agree that the Q&A would probably be the best thing, but let me just say a few things with regards to the facts here, which, by the way, will be on our website fairly soon. We've put together a number of points that you'll be able to go through to find out certain things about how it happened, somewhat of a timeline. At any rate, it's pretty clear that money turned up missing and the person involved remove those funds unilaterally without any agreement from anybody on the board or in the management position. I think it needn't have happened, and we are seeking in due course seeking an amicable resolution of it. However, we are an organization that is fundamentally involved with the law.
10 seconds.
And so we feel strongly that the law is fundamental to any of our activities, and we better not ignore it at the start. So I have a long friendship with Mike, and I hope that all of this is brought to a close amicably. But indeed, we have to do the right thing here, and we're being very careful as to how we proceed, giving it a great deal of thought.
Okay. Can we just let folks go ahead and ask questions?
Please,
then?
Please.
Okay. Remember that we'll do a queue here, but remember that your questions need to be limited to 30 seconds, and we're asked our guests here to keep their answers to a minute, okay?
I'd like to get on
who?
The queue. This is Sheila Casey.
Sheila?
Robin on the queue.
Was that Sheila that wanted on the queue?
Yes.
John Masurian? Like to get on
Robin.
The queue.
Sheila? John? Robin?
Barbara.
Who else?
Barbara?
Barbara?
Dwayne?
Okay, I got Sheila, Don, Robin, Barbara, Dwayne. Who else?
Aldo.
Aldo, who else?
William.
Willie, okay, who else? Okay, well, let's go ahead, Sheila.
Okay, I'll time myself here.
Conflict of interest.
I really think that, yeah. I haven't followed this very closely, but I guess my main concern is, are we at this point consider Mike Gravel sort of persona non grata in the truth movement? I mean, did he do something that you consider to be unethical and really not above board?
It's Ken here. In a word, yes. It's a complicated issue, much more that can be covered in a minute, but bottom line answer is yes.
But we hope to remedy that.
Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up? How would you remedy that?
We want to open discussions with Mike. We have been at arm's length and out of communication for too long.
Yeah, we tried to mediate early on unsuccessfully. We have some possibilities for reopening that. So that's our main approach at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Don Mazzaroni?
A couple of questions. First, did you mention that the Attorney General of Massachusetts has accepted your evidence on 9/11?
No. She certified our ballot initiative so that we could collect signatures.
Okay. But the end purpose is to have what? A grand jury investigation?
It's an investigation. It's a sort of like a grand jury, but it's not officially a grand jury. It's just to set up a panel of an investigation that would have subpoena power within the state.
So that's like a citizen's grand jury, then?
No, it would have subpoena power.
No, not right, but I mean a citizen's grand jury would also have subpoena power.
Yeah, in the same way, Don. Correct. Correct.
So that's
same kind of power. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so first you're going to get on the ballot, then? Is that the first step?
Correct.
Yeah.
And when is that going to happen? What's the date for the ballot?
Well, we're looking at the 2014 election cycle now.
2014. Oh, that's quite a ways.
Yeah, but it's a lot of money. A lot of money has to be raised. It takes time.
That's about five questions, Don. Let's let somebody else take a stab there, Robin.
Yeah, more of a statement. Here's a suggestion. It was clear as a bell that Mike Gravel had made a point on videotape that he looked at the 9/11 truth movement as being able to be mined, okay, on behalf of the larger citizens initiative process. And here's a bit of advice. If a horse comes into the stable in August, just preceding the next anniversary date, pretty much you can presume it's a Trojan horse. clear as a bell. He made it clear that he was going to mine the 9/11 truth movement, and he
seconds.
Did it. So.
This is George. Could you give me when did he say that, and where? How do we find him?
That was on a videotape that I think actually Ken put together somewhere out in San Francisco.
Oh, the Oakland talk with Bob Bowman?
Yep. That's where it was.
Okay. Thanks for that. Let's see. Barbara, you're next.
Did you say Barbara?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Quick comment and then a question. The comment is, I think it's very, very exciting what Susan Serpa said, and I'd like her to respond to it with a little bit more detail, that I believe, given the poll results we've had over the past 10 years, that the majority of the American public, or at least a good percentage of the American public, is with us. We've been tremendously successful. What we have been missing is something to make the public feel safe in coming around
seconds.
To take action. And when the Attorney General took any kind of action in Massachusetts, that made the public feel safe, and there was just this outpouring. And I think we have to figure out ways to kind of officialize 9/11 truth like
Barbara,
that.
Barbara, your time is pretty much up for asking the question.
Okay.
Can you make it real quick? Do you have a real quick question you can ask?
The question is, what's the bottom line to the three members who are the speakers as to what you plan to do? Is your bottom line to get the money back? What is your bottom line?
We need to begin fundraising all over again, but at a much stronger grassroots effort, which hadn't really been tackled before. And I love what you said, Barbara, about safe. That absolutely astounded me, how people even at work, a corporate law firm, were saying, well, I always thought, but they never felt that they could say that before. So there's a lot of untapped sort that's out there, and it's still untapped. And within the 2 months that we had, we had only 2 months to gather up 86,911 signatures. We just didn't have the groundwork prepared. We will next time around with support, with your help. Definitely we can do this.
We'll talk about how to make people feel safe.
That's more way over a minute. Dwayne, you're next.
Was just a minute.
My question pertains to the California Gifters Act or whatever it's called. My understanding from reading what Mike had written is that he suggested an approach to deal with that, and I hear that the committee members voted that down. I haven't heard what the alternative is to satisfy that act.
Well, that's another long answer, but I'll make it as quick as I can. The recipient committee in California was set up to that allows one to raise up to $25,000 for a ballot initiative in California, which is where we started. So we set up under that initially, knowing that when we hit 25, we would have to set up a 501c4, which was started in September and then mysteriously halted by Mike Gravel without our knowledge. And so when it came to the end of the year, when we had to transfer that money over to avoid a lot of tax filing and so forth, it was not in place as it was supposed to be, and we scrambled around and got it in place in time, but Mike by that time was ignoring us. So that's a very quick sketch to a very complicated issue.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. Aldo?
No, I don't have anything to add or ask.
Okay. Will, you're up.
Yes. Well, you know, I've been traveling, doing conferences. And Ken knows about it because it's on my list of friends on Facebook. this has surprised me, the whole thing with the campaign, because I sent many angels to help support this initiative. And when you hear about this money debacle, it's just, you know, mind-boggling, because now how are you going to fix the image of all these people being basically doped because this guy took the money, you know, one way or the other. What are you going to do about it? Because at this point, I would not lift a finger to promote anything at this point because, you know, it looks like a scam. That's why.
Okay. Who wants to respond to that?
Well, you raise a good point, Willie. There's a lot of tarnishing of the whole image that's happened. But the point is that what happened under, as a result of Mike's actions, the rest of us knew all along this was a long-term project. We were in it for the long term. As Susan pointed out, it takes at least a couple of years to put something like this together. We only had a few months. We just figured we would just carry on into the next year. And so this whole thing came as a huge shock to us as well. We've been scrambling like crazy, trying to put everything back together, trying to keep the project going because we feel it's a valid one, that it has a lot of hope and possibility. We can only hope that with time, the damage that's been done will be history and we'll be moving forward with the project as intended. Mike has given us a gift of a project that has a valid way to get an investigation. We'll always be grateful to him for that. It's just unfortunate that he had this other agenda that seemed to override what we were doing.
Paul Zaremka?
Okay, let's see. How are we doing on time for the whole thing? Anybody know?
You know what? I've just been timing each answer and each question and not keeping the whole time. Sorry
I think
about that.
Is anybody who's not had a chance to ask a question would like to speak?
Paul Zaremka?
Paul, yes, go ahead.
I would like to know why this...
We're limiting questions to 30 seconds. I think you came in late. You might not have heard that.
I've been here the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know why the steering committee allowed only one person to be a signature on the treasury of the citizens team. In other words, I think you have some responsibility for how you organized your setup in the first place.
Yes, absolutely. We're 100% responsible. We made a big mistake. That mistake is another complicated one, but basically it was a very temporary thing that was happening there. The whole thing was supposed to be rolled into a 501c4 under formal governance with bylaws, with all the things done properly. And so we saw it as a temporary thing. It was a mistake. We recognize that. We own that mistake. We are responsible for it. But, these things are complicated and, you know, we made a mistake. But we've recognized it. We're trying to correct it. And it certainly won't happen again.
Well, it won't happen again because the existing bylaws do not allow it to happen. Correct, Ken?
Correct. We're now under us by the 501c4 we're supposed to be under since last summer.
Yep.
And, the bylaws state these things very clearly, and it won't happen again.
Okay. Anybody else that hasn't spoken yet has a question or a comment? Do we want to move on, or do people want to take a second round of questions and answers here?
Well, I'd like to... This is George. I'd like to just add something that I left out of my presentation, which is just that how excited we are to start to renew a vision. We've been stopped we've been brought to an abrupt halt, and we're all very eager to get back to revisualizing how this can take place and will take place, and we are certainly glad, you know, want people to contribute their visions and ideas. So just want to insert that.
Yeah,
okay.
We tend to be far more open to the media, to input from the whole movement than perhaps we were in the past.
I'd like to say something, Ken, that I wanted to add before.
Well, hold it. Before you do, let's see if we can get an extension here. Do people want to extend this discussion further? The floor needs a motion to that effect because I think we're out of time on it for the moment. Anybody want to extend it?
This is Barbara. I would like to extend it maybe another minute or two. I just feel that Susan Serpa expected 5 minutes if she didn't really have it. I don't know. If she thinks she still has something to say, I'd like to hear it.
Okay, well, I'll take that as a motion for concluding comments by Cass. Does anybody want to extend the questioning period?
Yes, George here. Didn't somebody just ask for another
question?
No,
I'd like to speak. That's what I would. I just want to find out, do I have the okay to speak up or don't?
All right, well, Don would like a last chance to ask one question, I would take it. And assuming that nobody has any objection to that, can we allow him to ask his one brief question? And
okay, this
then,
would be 30 seconds, Don.
Yes, 30 seconds. And then we would allow the guests to make a summary final statement that would not take longer than, let's say, 3 minutes. Does that work for everybody? Okay. Go ahead. Any objections? So go ahead, Don. Ask your quick question.
The statement is everyone on the call familiar with my Patriot Citizens campaign and the fact that we have a 9/11 Truth Proclamation that was sent by the New Jersey Attorney General's office to the U.S. Attorney in New Jersey, where nothing has happened. Has anyone looked at what we have in our 3 points of evidence?
How is that relevant to this, Don? How does that relate to what we're talking about here?
Well, I'm just making a statement that...
Well, that's not what we're on right now. We're on asking questions
the question
to these
is,
people about
the
911 CC campaign. Okay?
Right,
so,
but are you familiar? Any people on the call familiar with the word?
No, you can't ask a question now because that's not what... You can save it for general discussion if you wish, but we're on it. This is a topically focused discussion, okay?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, so I guess we'll go ahead and move into final statements from our guests. Ken, do you want to, or Susan, I guess you feel like you want to say some more. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's let Susan go first.
Well, I do think that the question and answer period addressed most of what I wanted to say, but I do think that we are formulating, I do want to clear up, we do have 2 signatures now for the bank account, just to let you all know. So we really want to look, we're looking forward to a tremendous grassroots campaign of not looking for angels, but getting the angels through $10 donations, you know, $25 donations. That kind of movement is really going to bring the angels. We take the responsibility very strongly that we will safeguard every penny to the stated mission on our website. And a lot of people were wondering what the heck was going on with the website. The webmaster that Mike Gravel had contracted suspended our website. So we've been scrambling and still scrambling to get it up to speed, and I appreciate everybody's patience on that. You know, we've had
the website's
a lot
up now,
on
right?
our plate.
The website is now up, right? The website
is
now up.
It
yeah.
is still up. It is back up. It's still being edited, so that's why I say we're still scrambling. It's still being edited.
If I may, I'm ready. When you're ready, Sue, I'm just so chomping at the bit to underscore something you just said again, along with what you earlier said about the new excitement of the empowered people of Massachusetts when they felt safe. And that is our need to build the base. That is the one area, that was the presumption on which we kicked off this organization, and yet we found that most of the attention over the period of time we worked on it this last year, most of the time was spent trying to find angels or larger donors. And really what's critical here is to build a base of $10 donations from 10,000 people. If we can do that, we have a movement. If we can't do that, we don't have much of anything. And finally, in terms of that, we have to. It strikes me very. Had a strong vision of this after Massachusetts.
Time is
that
up.
We really need to focus the movement as a whole on whatever effort goes forward, because this is a major, major job to convince millions of people to vote affirmatively on a ballot initiative, and if we don't win, we lose.
We lose a lot of money that we've put in. We've lost the heartfelt energy and excitement and enthusiasm of millions of people. So,
okay, George.
Yep,
thanks.
That's it.
Thanks. We're out of time, but we do want to thank you, all three of you, for showing up tonight and answering these important questions that have been, you know, sort of lingering for some months as these rumors were flying and people had need to know, and these are the people that need to know, the 9/11 Truth Movement. So thanks again.
Thank you.
And if people want to bring this question back up for discussion later, if we have time for general discussion, we can do so, okay?
Next week, too. Next week.
And we could always invite these folks back if people want to, or whatever, you know, whatever we want to do with that, okay? Thanks again, y'all. Okay, for our next topical discussion is on the Vancouver hearings, and particularly what the program is and who's been invited. According to Craig, these will be very different from Toronto, and he wants to have a brief discussion about that opportunity. So, Craig, you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. I guess looking at the lineup, it does seem like it's going to be almost the antithesis of Toronto in a sense. It's going to be they don't seem concerned about avoiding controversy the way Toronto did. I imagine there's some people that might think that they're going too far in the other direction. I'm not necessarily sure I'm one of those, but it's being organized by Jim Fetzer and Joshua Blakeney. And actually, if you want to frame it, at least for once, an idea of where they're coming from, there's an article on Veterans Today where the two of them and Kevin Ballard co-write. Sorry?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so anyway.
You broke out.
Did I?
Yeah, you're breaking out.
I'm breaking out? Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
Is everybody
Yes, you're breaking up.
You're breaking out.
Really bad sound, Craig. Sorry.
Okay.
You broke out on the part where you were mentioning Fetzer. Are you telling me that Fetzer is organizing the Vancouver group?
Yes, he's co-organizing with Joshua Blakeney. And he's one of the presenters. They're both presenting. There are people there like, Dwayne is doing a presentation. There's Morgan Reynolds, Mike Sparks, A.K. Dudney, Dean Hartwell, Elias Davidson, Barry Zwicker, Anthony Hall, and Webster Tarpley. I don't know if I left anybody out, but Kurt Miller and Charles Baldwin as well. It just seems like they're doing kind of what Toronto was afraid to do, which was to take on some more controversial topics. They're going to address the video fakery issue and alternatives to the thermite theory, you know, in terms of directed energy weapons and this sort of thing. I don't have it to handle that. I just know it's going to be addressed according to this. So I just thought it would be, it's pretty topical. And I think I wanted to know sort of what people thought about this different direction from Toronto. And I should just mention, too, that they did come out with something fairly critical of Toronto in talking about organizing the Vancouver hearings. I'm talking about the organizers. And they wrote, they kind of backed off on that by saying that they'd made a mistake in being too critical of Toronto, and that they see this more as kind of like a compliment to Toronto, or kind of filling in the areas where Toronto didn't really touch.
Do they have a website?
Good question. I'm not aware of a website. But I can certainly put the link to that article.
Yeah, Craig. This is Dwayne. This is Dwayne.
Yeah.
There is a website.
Oh, okay. Great.
I was given the link to it just for my comments, which I fed back to Fetzer, but I think it's up. It's something very very expected, like the Vancouver hearings, but I'm not totally sure.
Well, it's got to be very controversial, you know that.
Yeah, it's true.
I have a question. It's Barbara.
my understanding.
Okay, Barbara, you can go first, and then I'd like to ask a question behind you. Does anybody else want to be on the stack to ask questions?
I'd like to be on this one too, Don.
Okay, Barbara, Ken, Don, who else?
Paul.
Okay.
Sheila, I'd like to get on the stack.
Sheila, okay.
Robin,
okay. All right, Barbara, go ahead.
Yeah. My question was, from what I think Craig McKee first sent out to the Leaders Teleconference email list, I thought that Kevin Barrett was also an organizer. Is he still an organizer? Has that changed?
Well, according to the schedule that I have, he's not listed. It just says Stetzer and Blakeney. But clearly Barrett is involved at some level because this whole article that was in Texas today was from the three of them talking about what they were, why they were doing things the way they were doing them, and with these hearings. So,
right. And just one quick comment at the bottom of that article you sent us all. It said if anybody was interested in speaking or had a comment or feedback, to get to any of the three of them.
Oh, okay. Well, perhaps just the schedule just left his name off by accident, perhaps.
Hmm. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. This is Ken. I'd like to ask you real quick, do you know anything about the formatting of this? I mean, how's the formatting going to compare to the formatting in Toronto?
Well, hang on a second.
Meaning, like, Toronto had an impaneled, magistracy of sorts that made an assessment of the evidence and then made a report. Are you going to do the same thing there?
Well, I'm not aware of them having sort of examiners the way they did in Toronto, asking questions. I mean, there's a master of ceremonies, and there's a keynote address, and that it seems to be, there's time allotted for discussion and debate at the end of each.
It's a little more like a colloquium then, huh?
Yeah, I think so. It doesn't make any reference at all to the way it was done in Toronto.
Thank you. Don Mazzarlin, you had a question?
Yeah, two questions. First, when is this supposed to happen?
June 15th to the 17th this year.
Second question, what's the final goal for the outcome of this? To do what?
Well, again, I can only go by what I've read of what they're saying, and they feel that there was a lot left out of the Toronto hearings. There was a lot of stuff that could have been addressed that wasn't, and that's what they're attempting to do, is to sort of fill in the blanks and to not be so timid, frankly, and not to ignore things like the Pentagon and other supposedly controversial issues.
They don't have the goal of a citizens' grand jury investigation.
No.
Okay, and that will bring us to Paul. Go ahead.
Just had a couple of comments. One is you can find the tentative agenda by just doing Fetzer, Vancouver, I think it's Vancouver hearings. I just did it, so I've got it in front of me. So that's just a comment. Second thing is that I don't think the Pentagon has any particular attention in this Vancouver hearings. And I'm almost sure, and I don't really want to be nailed on this, but I think Barry Zwicker was asked, but I don't think he confirmed that he would do it.
You're right. Yes, that's true. Some of these have confirmed and some of them haven't. So that's true. If you want, I can sort of say, I can mention who has and who hasn't, if you like, or at least who has, maybe. Charles Baldwin. Splitting the Sky.
What?
Yeah, Splitting the Sky is the keynote speaker, and Jack Etkin is the master of ceremonies. But the people, maybe you mentioned who isn't. I mean, Webster Tarpley and Barry Zwicker are not confirmed. James Petras is not confirmed. A.K. Dudney is not confirmed.
Did you say James Petras?
Yeah, he's on here too. I didn't mention him before.
No kidding. Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
That's under session, who was responsible for 9/11 and why? They have Kevin Barrett, Joshua Blakeney, and James Petras. or the three for that mission. But he's not confirmed, and but most of the rest of them are.
Okay, Sheila, you're next.
Sorry, I just had to get off of mute there. I wasn't sure, is James Fetzer a different person than Jim Fetzer?
No, same guy.
Great one.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what you consider to be the most controversial things that they're covering, since you said it was going to be very controversial. This was unconfirmed, but I had heard that they were having Simon Shack and the video fakery idea.
Can I answer a little bit of that? Of my point of view is Willie Rodriguez. I believe if they're going to have Morgan Reynolds, they're going to push the Judy Wood stuff there, and it's going to be by itself extremely crazy. So that's, again, you know, knowing Morgan for all these years and the speeches that he has made, he definitely goes and put all those DEW stuff on it, and it's not very, very good.
Yeah, if I could jump in real quick, this is Aldo.
Let's keep on the stack, please.
Oh, I apologize.
Yeah. Robin's next. I'll put you after Robin. Aldo, go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, it's
Craig, you never answered.
I'm sorry.
I can't hear you, Craig. Are you talking?
I am talking. I don't know what's wrong with my phone. It's easily works, but
there's a very serious echo coming from your phone right now, Craig. What was your question that he didn't answer?
Is that better?
Yeah,
that's a lot better.
That's a lot better. Sheila, what was your question that he didn't answer?
I wanted to know what he considered to be the controversial things that were going to be covered, and if that included Simon Shack and video fakery, because I had heard that that's the reason. I had heard that that might.
That is going to be covered, but not by Simon Shack.
Do you know who's covering that?
Well, they have video fakery and planes or no planes, and they've got Morgan Reynolds. His topic is some problems with the plane stories. Then Mike Sparks, what did and didn't happen at the Pentagon. And then Jim Fetzer, fakery and fraud in the official account of 9/11. So those are the three speakers, but I don't know. It doesn't really specify which one of them is going to talk about the video fakery, but I think it's Morgan Reynolds, I think.
Are you getting these? You're not getting these off of a website or something they faxed you?
No, I got it from Barry actually.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. So,
all right.
It's probably a couple weeks ago, so I don't know if it's changed, but.
Robert.
Yes, Craig. A comment to you. I hope that you keep us updated on this and kind of prepare yourself a little bit better than tonight. My comment is that anybody who thinks they know what on or 9/11. Is not correct. They don't know. There's nobody that actually knows what went on. And in my view, even though I don't really agree with a lot of the stuff that is going on up in Vancouver, okay, the Vancouver conference has far less ability to undermine the 9/11 truth movement than does the process of consensus and shutting down the research and only going ahead with stuff that certain members of our community are comfortable with. That's all I've got to say. So the more, the better.
I disagree.
Yeah. Can I just make a point that this was not really supposed to be like a presentation on my part. It was just kind of suggesting that we have a discussion. So I wasn't necessarily preparing a presentation. So.
Right. That's right. This is a focused discussion. Okay. So Aldo, do you want to make a comment or ask a question?
We just, so you guys know, we weren't asked. I could tell you we would not participate in it. We do not support any of that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously it hasn't been any fruits, you know, for anybody. It's just been wild theorizing, and it's unnecessary. I mean, when it's clear when it's unnecessary, then you got to start to look at the intent of these guys. So that's pretty much it. I just wanted to add that we're not doing it, and you know, I would definitely tell everybody to steer clear of it, and you know, it is what it is, you know. Well, obviously, it's not going to really accomplish anything. I don't know what kind of hearings it really is when it's all theory and really no evidence. So that's pretty much that.
Okay. Anybody else have spoken that want to speak to this issue, or are we ready to move on?
Oh, this is Dwayne.
Okay.
I'm a speaker there. I don't consider what I'm speaking and presenting to be anything like what Aldo just suggested it would be.
And I agree, Duane. I'm sure it's you're going to be in the clear, but unfortunately you'll be associated with all that stuff, and your name will forever be linked with it. Oh, look, he's done these this hearing over here where they're talking about no planes and space beams and all that kind of stuff. So once you're linked to it, you're linked to it. And I know that from experience, because anything we do or say is constantly linked to us and is quote mine and is used later on. So, I would just say stick with the best evidence, the strongest stuff we've got, I'd like to, once we get into the open discussion, I'd actually like to touch on a few points regarding the consensus panel, because I didn't really get to get in on the first part of the call. But as far as these hearings go, I've been dealing with these guys long enough. I've been dealing with the Simon Schacht types. I've been in the trenches arguing with these guys. I've been, seeing what they do. So I see this as completely, it's got to be disinformation. It's the only thing it can be.
Okay, well, why don't we postpone this part until we get to the general discussion, okay?
Got it. Sorry.
We've really pretty much run out of time for this. This was supposed to be a very short, presentation / discussion. So we have one more to do, and then we can do announcements and open discussion, okay?
Did you take the one drop?
I'm sorry? Is somebody speaking?
Somebody else in the room.
Trying to speak. All right, let's move on to then topical discussion number two, the decision by Richard Gage and Kevin Ryan to speak at the National Convention of the Nation of Islam this weekend. This will have taken place by tonight. Apparently, this decision has prompted resignations by some architects and engineers, the 9/11 Truth Board members. Craig, get us started on this, and then we'll discuss it for 10 minutes, and then we'll do announcements, okay?
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to say a lot. I just wanted to kind of get the subject talked about a little bit. I support his decision. I don't know all the names of the people who have who protested. I've heard that one of them is Brian, is it Romanoff? That's the one he's the one that's openly quit over it. And there's a second person who's quit, but whose name I don't know. And apparently some other board members were pretty angry. I think it was the right decision. I think we can sort of go overboard in this sort of really playing everything really safe and not offending everybody thing, but I don't think that's really gotten us too far so far. I think it was kind of a courageous decision. I think we should kind of support him for that, because we've been kind of, he's been getting some criticism over the last few months for not being kind of bold and decisive in terms of standing up for himself. I think in this case he was, and I support him. So that's all I'm going to say to start.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Willie?
Yes, I want to comment on that. Barbara, I'm sorry.
Willie and Barbara.
This is Andy Geisley. I'd like to be on the stack, too, please.
Robin on the stack.
And Anna Geisley.
Anna.
Anna was ahead of me, Robin.
Okay.
I was contacted to do the presentation, and I rejected it. I was initially contacted by Richard, Kevin Barrett, and Kevin Wright. And the decision was very simple for me, and as you know, I have spoken to more Muslims around the world than anybody put together combined. I mean, 50,000 in the GPU, 3 years on the row, 100,000 in South Africa with Mozambique, the former Guantanamo Bay prisoner. So my decision was simply by taking into account that I was getting again attacked by a member of the staff from architects and engineers, and Richard knew about it. I told him, and he was very embarrassed by the whole situation, but didn't do anything about it. And it was very simple. I told him, I will not support your organization or any organization where attacks are coming towards my person, whoever it is. And no matter how the mission helps my mission, it just, doesn't go with my philosophy. I was invited, and I rejected it, and I thought, again, like you said, maybe he was doing the right thing, but I did the right thing to stay clear from that area.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Barbara is next.
Oh, okay. I'd just like to go on the record that it's Richard's decision and whoever else was decided to speak, Kevin Ryan, I guess. But I think they've made a terrible, terrible mistake. I agree with Willis. I have personal experience with Louis Farrakhan. Most people don't know, but, you know, I've had a very high-level political career also. And one of the positions that I held was National Coordinator for Women for the Jesse Jackson presidential campaign in his D.C. headquarters in 1984. And I experienced there that there were, you know, maybe 10 posters of Farrakhan on the wall for one of Jesse Jackson. And Farrakhan was there all the time. I interacted with him. He is a toxic individual who wants to have a separate black state, literally a nation of Islam separated out in Mississippi or something with their own nuclear weapons. I mean, the guy is totally radical. And Jesse Jackson had to publicly separate himself, even Jesse, from Farrakhan. So I think it's a terrible, terrible thing. It plays right into the hands of Cass Sunstein. That's my comment.
Okay, was that Barbara?
Yes, that was Barbara.
Okay, thanks, Barbara. Sheila? Sheila, did you want to understand? Didn't you say you wanted to be on the stand?
I think we lost her.
I think
she's gone. Yes, we lost Sheila. Okay. Let's see. We got Anna, the next.
Well, I think it's a risky, very risky move. We had a discussion on this discussion board. A lot of us here on the call was part of it. since then, I've been listening to a lot of Farrakhan stuff and. Yeah, I think he's a little shaky, you know. He's the one that I watched something about Malcolm X and Malcolm X's assassination, and a few months before the assassination, Farrakhan said death to Malcolm X. Death is, I may have gotten it wrong, but that's what I remember viewing. And then a couple months later, Malcolm X is assassinated, and so Farrakhan had it. I mean, what kind of, you know, so I learned that after my, you know, decision on a few days ago. Well, you know, to me, the little bit I've listened to Farrakhan, I think he brings up very important points. I tend to agree with his view of what's happening on the foreign policy and with a lot of things he sees is right. I think he is maybe, I mean, it's very risky, but I think that we need to blow this superstitious thing about Islam out of the water, and I'm hoping that, you know, the superstition and the unfair warmongering and making Islam the religion of Satan, I just can't go there. I just can't go there. And so and to counteract that, I think it's important to open up everyone's mind. So I thought it was a good decision, but like I said, very risky. And I all accolades to Richard for making that step. I think it is the right one, but I don't know that much about Louis Farrakhan. I don't think most of us do. So it's Barbara sounds like she knows a little bit more. I'm sure her concerns are valid, but it is a decision he thought about, and I support him.
Okay, thank you. Robin?
Yeah, I support the decision to do this, and I find it very interesting that at the beginning of this conversation we were talking about Hollywood slant Howard Cohen's point of view about the 9/11 attacks and how they're going to eventually avoid Israel's role, and now we have a situation where Gage and Ryan are jumping right into and hoping to enlighten and bring on board the Muslim community to take a look at the events on 9/11. I will also point out to people on this phone call a fact, and that is that in 2010, in New York City, there was a tremendous, tremendous weekend thing. It's when Barbara and Richard put up the third light. And it was a really great event that took place in New York City, and it was taped by INN. I forgot the fellow's name right now. But in any event, the whole thing was taped and buried. And it was a great conference, and it was the first time that we had the Muslim community engaged with us. So this is exactly the type of move ahead that has to take place for the truth to eventually emerge. I will repeat again, anybody who knows exactly when, think they knows what exactly went on 9/11 doesn't. period. We need to keep everything going. So most people know about Farrakhan and can create a fence in between them and the rest of the Muslim community, since the Muslim community has said, you don't speak for us. That's all.
Okay. Does anybody who...
I'm sorry. I'm a Muslim, as everybody knows. I don't push it anywhere publicly, no need. But I've been speaking about it to the Muslim community for years. And again, it's a decision where and how to do it and how to deliver the message.
I agree with Willie. It was just people don't understand how risky his decision is. I support Richard. I know him personally. He lives right next to my brother. It's his decision to make, but I think that it will be used against us. I hope not.
Okay. Anybody that hasn't spoken yet want to make a comment or ask a question, or are we ready for announcement?
I would like to say just one quick thing. This whole thing on 9/11 has been based on the Muslims, and what better place to go but to the Muslim community and enlighten them, because maybe they can do what we haven't been able to do.
I tell you why, Don. Because there's many different factions of Muslims, and the Muslim from Farrakhan itself are not considered part of the real Muslims out there. It's considered a sect by itself. And as you can see, the way they dress and the way they portray themselves are totally different. They don't talk about Allah only. They talk about Elijah Muhammad, who was the leader for them, and they adore him. Idolatration. I mean, they have to have their pictures in their houses, which is forbidden by the real Muslim community. So it's a fact that, you know, it's in an extreme group, different. Well, we can argue the different points of view about extremism, but again, you know, you take your shots and you go with it. But like Aldo McGee, the other guy, what's his name? Who's there?
Okay.
I forgot. Aldo's partner, who's on the call right now.
Craig Ranky. Aldo's. I don't think you're talking about
Craig Ranky,
right? Yeah,
Craig Ranky's not on the phone. Craig McKee's on the phone, I believe.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say is just, you know, like you mentioned before, that nobody knows anything about 9/11. When you have, for example, we go back about this decision, it's the same decision of the Fetzer conference. You may have a good presentation, wonderful and powerful, but if you mix it up with all these other stuff that is extreme, it's going to damage you. It's going to taint you.
Well,
very simple. And I mean, if I can have something very powerful and pugnant about the families and bring family members to speak about it, and all of a sudden you're going to have this guy talking about that the jumpers of the building were superimposed, that there was no jumpers, that were scenes, what they call it, you know, simulated images. When, you know, we saw the bodies out there. We were there. You may not know that, but we saw the body parts. And we saw the jumpers personally. And people to say to us, victims and survivors, that they were not jumpers, that was simulated, that was superimposed, that was TV fakery, that's very offending for us. And you are pushing away the families, victims, and survivors that were affected directly by this. And instead of helping, you're actually closing the doors to them.
Absolutely. If I could jump in, Willie, on what you said, that's dead on. And just so you guys know, that would make my job harder, Dominic's job harder in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, because when we actually discover the stuff that proves some type of outlandish scenario, it immediately gets lumped in with, you know, fake jumpers and, you know, fake planes and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think in a way they actually put that stuff out there to kind of offset the real crazy stuff that they did, which was, you know, the Pentagon and Shanksville. But really quick, if I can just jump in on the whole Farrakhan thing, I do support Gage and Ryan for doing it.
I don't think it's going to be fruitful. I'm not even sure if it's really that damaging other than within the truth movement, because I don't even think it's really been touted on in the mainstream media or, you know, flung into the public space. So I don't think it's really, you know, that big a deal. But I just so you guys know, I've actually had the same exact idea. And actually was originally to approach different Muslim PR groups with our evidence, along with other different, like, you know, victims' families and victims themselves and so on. But I think it is a great avenue. I think it's great if we can galvanize Muslims behind real evidence. Again, it's got to be real evidence. In the case of the towers, I mean, we know that obviously something other than the fires and the jets brought them down. But to prove who actually did it, who was behind it, is a whole other question. That's why, you know, we're trying to present and put forward evidence that directly implicates the U.S. government.
Who's speaking?
That proves it was an inside job.
Who's speaking?
But really quick, if I could finish this thought, Kevin Ryan, just so you guys know, Kevin Ryan, when he did his presentation, he covered a lot of things that really are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, are controversial and or debunked. He covered the hijackers still found alive. That stuff is long debunked. There's amazing evidence regarding the hijackers showing that they had body doubles and they were in two places at one time. I mean, that's factual stuff that can be backed up. The hijackers being found alive has all been written off to mistaken identities. And I think that was purposely put out there. But that's one of the things he covered. He covered the put options, which have been contested. You know, he covered even the whole Norman Mineta, Dick Cheney. He covered the missile on the plane, which I don't even know why he is qualified to even be commenting on this stuff. In my opinion, I would think he should stick to the things he knows, which would be, you know, the steel, the melting point, and the UL issue. So, you know, this is the issue we have here, is that we got these guys kind of speaking and not really doing, you know, full scope research on a lot of the stuff that they're talking about. And it's damaging because it sends a confusing and incorrect message to the public and to the people who are reviewing the information.
Could I ask who has been speaking? I don't know.
Who I'm sorry?
I don't know who has been speaking. You didn't identify yourself.
This is Aldo.
That was Aldo.
Aldo, okay. Right. So if nobody...
If I could have another...
Robin on the spot.
Well, wait a minute, Anna, before you...
Hold on.
We've actually gone pretty far past the time allotted for this item. I'd like to request that we hold discussion until we get to general discussion and we can pick it back up again. We want to take a few moments for announcements before we do that. Is that, if that's okay with everybody, if there's not a proposal to amend the agenda, let's just thank Craig for that report and move forward, okay? Anna, you said you had an announcement about the update on the other thing?
Yeah. Virginia State Legislature, there's been a bill to nullify the NDAA and the National
Yay!
Defense Authorization
Yay.
Act. It passed the House, and it just passed the Senate, went back, and it was kind of exciting to watch it go back and forth, and it came out winning 39-1. Putting it into a point where the governor cannot veto it. So,
woo!
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
That's not on my stage for once.
So, for people that aren't familiar with it, Anna, can you just give a brief description of what this is and what it will mean?
The National Defense Authorization Act is kind of like the Patriot Act on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of revamping, and there's a detention clause in there, a citizen detention clause that actually was voted out. But just to give you an idea what the spirit of the thing is, that this thing and Rand Paul apparently got it disproved, you know, got it voted out. But this amendment was, even if you are brought into a trial and you are proven innocent, this act was going to allow you to still be in prison indefinitely. By the Homeland Security or the security agencies, if they suspect that you're a terrorist, even if you prove yourself innocent, you can still be detained. Well, they took that bit out, but the rest of it is still it's such a breach of our constitutional, you know, the Bill of Rights. It's especially when it comes to having a trial, due process of law. They're gonna indefinitely detain you without due process of law, and it's making that legal for the federal government to do that. So that's the biggest part of it. I have a write-up about it, and I'm going to send it.
So the decision by the legislature in Virginia there, what is it going to mean?
It is going to mean, I was just going to try to bring up the language, it's very simple.
Okay.
The simple is it will be a criminal, it'll be prosecuted criminally. If someone who works for the Virginia state, whether it's the National Guard, police force, anyone who works for the state government, to detain, to be part of investigating a Virginia citizen, you have to read yourself. I'm going to probably chop it up and spit it out, and it won't look like anything what it is. But it makes it unlawful for a person who works for the state government to be part of an investigation that would bring a person into indefinite detainment without due process of law, basically.
Let's all move to Virginia.
Yay.
Oh yes, it's so exciting. You know, we were saying, well, what's, you know, Virginia needs to lead out here, and so this is big. This is, and the fact that it's 39-1. Hello?
I don't know what that was.
That was my announcement. I'm going to send it right up to the telecon list.
Okay. And does anybody else have an announcement? Or an update on anything that we need to know about? Well, then...
I could do this now or part of the general discussion, whatever you want to.
Yeah, well, we're going to move into general discussion now, so it's open topic, but it's already... Let's see, what time is it? We've been at it an hour and a half. How about if we give it 15 minutes and see where we're at of open discussion, okay?
Robin on the stack.
Don on the stack.
Okay. Robin, who else? Don? Who else?
Craig.
Who else?
Willie,
who else?
Lorenzo,
who else?
Barbara.
Aldo.
Barbara, who else?
Aldo.
Aldo, who else? Okay, Robin, you first. Go ahead. So try to keep your comments points
to
about a minute.
It's going to be 30 seconds here. I already made my point about Israel, which we were going to talk about with the Cohen movie. That's Hollywood's attempt to shut down the truth getting out about Israel. And I talked about the Muslim thing. But I want to point something out to everybody on this phone call right now. It's something that I know of because I'm still in the streets in the Seattle area between 1 and 5 times a week with my handouts and put myself in the middle of people. Susan made it very clear something that I have been saying and have realized for a long time, and that is that the American public is generally with us, but they are unsafe. Okay, I get the majority of my responses, which average between 100 and 200 to 1 positive, okay? For every negative, I get between 100 and 200 people who are positive, and the handout stuff now is no problem with people taking my stuff about 9/11 and world peace, okay? It's there. So anybody who has the broken record on this conference or anywhere else in the 9/11 Truth Movement that says, well, if you associate with this group, we're really going to do damage to the 9/11 Truth Movement, is missing an essential element, and that is that you should trust the citizens of the world to take a look at the evidence that we're putting together and for them to come up with solid and positive conclusions or questions or come to understandings that we all understand. It's a broken record. Please stop it. Please stop. I'm asking. Stop saying if we hang with this person, they're going to say that. We're going to be negative. People are going to think. No. Everything that people have said has been out there, and still the American people come back with what Susan Serpa told us tonight. It's no surprise to me at all that she reported what she reported, because that's what it's like in the street. Inside baseball has got to go. Don't be afraid. If you want to do anything better, then make a better presentation. I'm not afraid of Farrakhan. I'm not afraid of Christian nuts. I'm not afraid of Jewish Zionist nuts. I'm not afraid of any of it. Just do the work. Thank you.
Okay.
I'd like to just give a website and ask everybody if they would just jot this down if you haven't already. That is voicesofsafety.com/PCC/911/. Click on the 9/11 Truth Proclamation. There's three scientific points of evidence that nails the thing right down. Number one, the buildings fell down approximately freefall time. That could only happen with controlled demolition, point one. Point two, the FAA data gave the time that the planes hit the buildings, and a seismograph located 21 miles north of ground zero recorded the time that underground explosions were detected. They occurred before the planes hit. Point three, analysis of the dust has definitely proven that it was thermite that was used, and that was that particular type of thermite was only available from a U.S. military lab. Those are the three points. They're on the website. Please look at it. Anyone that's going to Vancouver, please use it.
Okay. Check it out. Let's see. Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment about the film. I don't know if this is a good time for that or not, but I guess it seems like every time we hear new information about the film, it seems kind of to be worse than the previous thing we heard. I mean, we were hearing, you know, a month ago we were getting a statement from, I gather, from the director who's now been replaced, saying that one of the, you know, prime goals of the film should be to, you know, find healing and forgiveness, which, you know, that kind of rang some alarm bells for me. I think we talked about that last call. But hearing now that they're going to stick to the consensus points, like, oh, my God, that those points are not even, that's like a work in progress. Like, even I had a discussion with Elizabeth Woodworth about the consensus points, and she says they hope to have like hundreds of them before they're done. It's just a process that's starting. So to base a film or to stick to only the stuff that's made it in so far, just I don't understand why they would do that. I mean, it's being safe to the point of extreme, in my opinion.
Okay, that's great. Willie.
No, well, I agree. I agree with what he said, and you know, it's a process. It takes a lot of revisions, and I mean, my documentary has been going for like 3.5 years. I've been interviewing people nonstop, so I understand how the process goes. And mine is done by myself and another guy. So imagine a production like that having Ted Asner as one of the top guys. I mean, it's not easy. So. It will go a long way before we see something definitely final about this.
Okay. Thanks, Willie. Lorenzo.
Hi. Yeah, there's a couple of points I'd like to make and a couple of questions.
Dingo. Chill.
Pilots for 9/11 Truth has not been included, or I haven't heard very much of their inclusion. And their stuff is so complimentary to what Craig and Aldo have produced with the Citizens Investigation Team. There's a lot of expertise. There's a lot of experience in that group, and it's, you know, the stuff that they have to share is very well done and is very revealing about what the possibility, or you know, pretty much what the possibilities aren't about what struck the Pentagon, and you know, sort of suggestive. I'm wondering why pilots Rob Balsamo and crew wasn't on the invited list of participants tonight. Why they're not included very much in this community?
I could probably answer that best, just because I know Rob very well. I think it's probably partly in this case. I think he probably just didn't know about it. Rob's also a busy guy, so and he's been the main guy. But you know, Dwayne Dietz is here representing pilots for 9/11 Truth. But
great.
just so you know, I mean, you got to understand too that pilots just like us have been marginalized by this clique, this group who has this invisible buffer around them, and they refuse to engage with us, you know, voice to voice, face to face. They refuse to make concessions. So what they've done is they've inserted this confusion, that literally has dragged pilots down a notch. I think a lot of people are just kind of left confused. They're like, oh my God, this Frank Legg guy and this Warren Studd. Oh my God, look at this data and this, and then they get kind of overwhelmed. But
yeah.
All the points still stand, and everything Rob is, he's addressed everything that they've said, you know, ad nauseum. So, but yeah, that's partly, you know, that you probably don't hear about them as much. It's partly because they've been marginalized. There's a clique within the movement who I personally believe have infiltrated the movement, who are doing work overtime on pilots, because us, alongside the pilots guys, have the strongest evidence that you know, points to an inside job.
I want to add in support that that person that is the head of that group, that clique, works for Richard Gage, and is Brian Good. He's been attacking this guy for the longest. We're talking about years, and he, everything that appears on the internet, the guy goes there. He has been attacking me, attacking Kevin Barrett, and Unrelentless.
In all fairness to Richard Gage, I believe Brian Good no longer has worked with them and doesn't work.
No. Let me clarify that. He's working there. He's working on the documentary that Richard Gage is making. He's the scriptwriter there, and he's the person heading the group that is doing the scriptwriting for the film. So, and when I asked Richard why is he there again, he was very embarrassed. And he told me, Willie, I didn't want to tell you because I knew you were going to get angry, but the reality is that he works for nothing. He's a volunteer, and he knows his stuff. So, you know, I'm going to use him because he's very good at what he's doing, even though I don't agree with his attack to you or other people. And he said, well, that's not the right answer. That's when I said, you know, don't expect me to support your organization or your video, no matter how good it is, when it comes from somebody that is being attacking me or my friends.
Right. Well, and not only that, but he's not, if you followed him online, he's actually not very supportive of controlled demolition or any of that stuff. He kind of walks a fine line under you know, a couple of his aliases online, but he's aligned with the clique, the Truth Action guys, who adamantly go after the controlled demolition guys and attack it out of his team.
Personally, I really don't care about that. I could care less. The thing that bothers me is when these people attack you and you challenge them to a debate, they run away, and they just like a hit and run. And, you know, I've been trying to get this guy engaged to a real face-to-face debate on a place, and they run away, and then they claim victory because they, you know, they want to go into this tirade on the internet that you don't have the time to be back and forth.
Right.
Okay, thanks. Well, let's give Barbara an opportunity here. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay, are we on general discussion?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Four really quick points, and then anybody who wants to comment on them. The first, I have a question for anybody who knows. Who is Mike Sparks? He's in this Vancouver thing talking about the Pentagon. Is there anything anybody knows I could read about him? Never heard of him. That's number one. Number two, just want to alert people to an extremely important breaking piece of news if you're not already aware of it. Front page of today's New York Times has broken the news yesterday, like on NPR and such, and PBS TV, that unidentified remains from both 9/11 Pentagon and Shanksville victims were mishandled by Dover Air Force Base put in a landfill. And when the story first broke about Dover Air Force Base mortuary mishandling Marines' remains and such from Iraq and Afghanistan, I emailed David Ray Griffin. I said, my nose tells me that this story is really about the 9/11 victims, especially at the Pentagon. And he got back to me and he said, I think you're right. Let's see. Well, it broke. It's the front page of today's New York Times. Everybody has to read that story. It's huge. And the reason it's huge is that the victims' family members from Shanksville were told that none of their family members' victims' remains went to Dover Air Force Base. And we know from the reportage on the alleged plane Pentagon victims, where the victims were allegedly their remains found in the Pentagon, which has never been proven,
that those were somehow mixed in, according to the Pentagon reportage, with the Shanksville remains that went to Dover. This is a huge story. It can open huge doors for us. So that's number two. And number three, I just want to thank Robin. He's on the line for all of his help, and let him know I'll be getting back to him. My mom had some medical problems the last couple of days.
No problem, Barbara.
Thank you.
Okay.
Barbara, on the situation of the remains, we've been involved with that over here. Actually, we had calls yesterday from several media outlets for people to be interviewed. I wanted to point out that Families for Proper Burial is a 9/11 organization here in New York that has been at the forefront of fighting for the ashes and remains that were brought to Fresh Kills Landing. And we have signed affidavits of workers there that said that the ashes and remains were used for filling up potholes in the area. So, you know, the issue has been from the very beginning that they didn't want to recognize that that top layer of ashes and remains was, you know, important to the families, and we wanted them to be brought back to the area of what is the museum now. And now, you know, we have the other issue that the museum, they want to, they will allow it, the remains that have not been identified, but not the ashes and remains. And that's
right.
Another controversy. So we something that we deal with on a monthly basis here with the media, and we've been fighting for the longest. But this is not related to directly to 9/11 Truth. That's why we don't bring it up in discussions on this.
Well, the reason that I'm mentioning the breaking story in front page A1 of the New York Times today and Washington Post and everywhere else is because this issue of the unidentified Pentagon and allegedly Shanksville remains is a door that can open to 9/11 Truth at the Pentagon. Big time, big time. And does anybody know who Mike Sparks is?
No.
No.
I do not. This is Aldo, and I do not.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Could I just wanted to address a couple points. I didn't get my actual time to talk. But
Is this Aldo?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, you're next, Aldo. Go ahead. It's your turn.
All right. To address first what Robin had said earlier, you know, I do have to take issue with it because I know that that's what these guys do. That's what they're paid to do. That's what this information is for. It's designed to latch on to the good stuff and discredit it. So, you know, I mean, I understand, you know, meeting people in the street, you're going to get, you know, a lot of positive responses. But, again, I know at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, when people actually go to look at the evidence, it's overwhelming. It really is overwhelming for people to know what really happened or have an idea what really happened at you know, each of the events. So, but, again, I do have to stress that, you know, this information is there for a reason. That's why they created it. That's why it's there. So, you know, just keep that in mind. Back to the movie, the point that when Craig had brought it back up, just so you guys know, the last I had heard, they haven't raised a dime. So, you know, as far as we know, this could all be for naught. And I'm not saying, you know, that there's some nefarious purposes. I don't know yet. I mean, I've got my reservations about Cohen and the whole project in itself, especially knowing what I know now. But, you know, you got to keep in mind the possibility of the whole letdown aspect, which, you know, if this movie, and I'm just saying it, I'm just putting it out there, that if this movie was a setup from Jump Street, that part of it could just be simply the failure of it all. The very simple fact that it was put out there, and then nothing happened because money wasn't raised. So that could be a serious demoralizer for the truth movement. And that, you know, obviously works in the group's favor. But, you know, I'm gonna obviously reserve judgment until we know what's gonna happen with it. As far as this whole thing, again, I have to go bring it right back to the evidence and strongest evidence, and we're talking about the consensus approach, and you know, obviously you guys know who I am, you know what we've done. What I'm trying to get people to really see is that there is a consensus, there is a focal point we can have with this stuff, and it is with tangible, real evidence that can prove what happened. Nobody's talked to any of these witnesses we've talked to. The cops are not allowed to talk. I mean, this should tell you guys, and this is huge. It's just sitting there, you know, waiting for somebody to do something about it. And it could be as simple, like, I've met with Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, which, you know, he believes the witnesses. He believes the plane was on the north side of the gas station. But you know what? He will not accept the implications. And he bullied me, you know, to the point where he can now, you know, evoke plausible deniability. But the fact remains is that we've given you guys the evidence. It's just a matter of actually physically now taking it and going out there and showing people, hey, you know, look at this. You have to bring these people into court. You have to call these witnesses. You have to speak with them. Because, again, all of them were unwitting. None of them were there to support a conspiracy. They all thought they were supporting the official story. Same thing with Shanksville. Most people don't know about our research with Shanksville. We've got amazing witnesses out in Shanksville. There's a lot less out there because it's obviously of its location, but we've got absolute proof of a drone, a small, lightweight drone that was on the scene at the exact same moment or before the explosion. We've got a different flight path and a different trajectory and a plane seen flying away. So it's the same scenario as the Pentagon. It was just easier to pull off because of where it was at. So bringing up our evidence, since I've got, you know, Barbara on the phone, I think if it's possible, I'd like to see if we can maybe make this a discussion point for the next call. But
I'm sorry to interrupt. Guys, this is the longest I've been on the conference, and I have to leave. So big hug to everybody.
It's good that you can make it, Willie. Thanks a bunch. And don't be a stranger, okay? We want to see you back on the call, okay?
Bye-bye. Show the event time at 9:38, 9:37. So, you know, I don't want to get...
By the way, excuse me, Aldo. None of us heard what you said.
That's a Pentagon attack. But, you know, there's...
Aldo, none of us heard what you said.
Shows you're not correct about a lot of...
Aldo, hold on. Aldo, there was an interruption there, and people didn't get to hear some of your comments.
I Barbara, did not hear a word you said because Willie was speaking.
Willie was speaking over you, so can you go back about a minute or half a minute and pick up what you were saying there?
Sorry, say that again?
Yeah, just repeat what you were saying for about the last 30 seconds.
No one heard you, Aldo. No one heard you.
The last 30 seconds I brought up Barbara and some of your research, and again I was trying to just, you know, see if we could find some kind of consensus because we believe that some of the research, some of your conclusions are incorrect. And
yeah, but I believe your conclusions are incorrect. I can prove it.
Barbara, you don't have the floor. He's got the floor. Let him say his piece, and then you can go on the stack and say your piece, okay? We don't want it just to become a dialogue. It should be, you know, everybody taking a turn, okay?
Yeah, I'll wrap it up. Again, I was just making the point that perhaps for the next call we can get into this in more depth. We can make it one of the issues, and we could bring on Craig as well as one of our other researchers, Adam, who's worked extensively on it, and we can address many of the issues that we have with your research and your conclusions. Because you've made statements that are in direct conflict and absolutely contradict what we found and absolutely have no basis in reality. There's no evidence of that.
Okay, yeah, you've said
true.
That. You said you, okay. Hold it. Yeah, you said that. Although Barbara, do not jump in. Okay, it's not your turn yet. Although you really said what you had to say, and it's becoming repetitive. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to. Let somebody else speak. Now, before you do, though, I want to remind you and everybody else that's talking about ideas for the next conference call to submit your ideas before the Saturday before the conference call so that they can be part of the draft agenda, okay? Don't wait till after the draft agenda goes out and then think that you want to do it, okay? The idea is to get it in. You can send it in tomorrow, and it'll be on the draft agenda. But if you wait too long, then we have a problem, okay? Barbara, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that. I really do want to engage in the substance, but only after you have read my paper for the Toronto hearings, which I'm completing. And I have spent 6 months doing in-depth 14-hour-a-day research, and you need to see the whole picture before. I've looked at every single second of your website, and there is absolutely no question that the first violent event happened right after 9:30. So if you guys are willing to have your plane come in the North Pass right after 9:30, the last Dwayne Dietz talked to Craig Ranke, he said, oh, no, our North Pass plane came in close to 938. So you can't have it both ways. But we need to seriously engage.
Absolutely, and I agree, and I hope it can be cordial and courteous. I'm not trying to attack you, but we have enough enough information to show you that what you're talking about is just the 9:30 explosion just didn't happen.
You gotta take a step back. You are wrong.
One second. Let me just make this last comment, you guys. If that explosion took place at 9:32, then you got to explain to me why those officers were all standing around the gas station for 8 minutes doing nothing. Nobody at the Pentagon ran to the Pentagon to investigate these explosions that went off 8 minutes prior to when the plane came by.
Well, first off, it was an internal explosion. That's the whole point. It was an internal explosion. And by the way, if you look, just a minute, I'm speaking. If you look at where April Gallup's desk is, it's right off quarter five. Take a look at the Pentagon. Quarter five is even north of the heliport firehouse.
So you're telling me, that for 8 minutes, no one inside, internally, where these internal explosions were, no one radioed that explosions went off inside the Pentagon, alarming everybody on the outside of the Pentagon who were out there before that plane passed by. Is that what you're telling me?
You are going to have to ask April Gallup that question. However, my paper for Toronto pulls together voluminous, compelling, converging lines of evidence of an early violent event. You can characterize that how you wish, but it happened right after 9:30.
Barbara, our guy Adam is well aware of your paper. He's very well versed in it. We have a complete response to everything you've ever written.
You have not seen my Toronto paper. No one has.
Well, whatever you said at Toronto, we know what you said at Toronto, so.
Robin on the stack.
Yeah, okay, I got you now, Robin. Barbara, conclude your comments.
Sheila on the stack.
Okay. Who? Sheila? Okay. And then I'm going to close the stack after Sheila, and then we'll figure out if we want to continue. Conclude, Barbara, please.
Well, I've concluded. I'm happy to engage, and I want to engage substantively as soon as my paper is done and everybody's read it.
Well, I would like to suggest, because this topic does keep coming up, and it is a matter of a controversy among us, that we find a good format within which we could use our call to maybe have a very principled and civil debate on these questions. I think it would be a very useful, good use of our time, but that's just my thought. Robin, you next.
Yeah, I used to be a member of Pilots for 9/11 Truth, just to get back to what Aldo was saying, and there was another fellow on this deck, let me find his name here, Lorenzo Fine, who had a question about why Pilots for 9/11 Truth has sort of been marginalized. I think at the end of the story, from my professional point of view anyways, is that they've marginalized themselves, and I'll give you a very simple answer. The study that they did regarding the speeds of United 175 should have been titled Possible Speeds instead of what it was entitled, which is Impossible Speeds. So it's very clear to almost anybody who takes a look at Pilots for 9/11 Truth's work that it is that there are some other agendas involved. So therefore, this is that, and the fact that they've excluded amount of obvious and available evidence regarding their animations on Pandora's box and whatever it might be. So that's why, if Lorenzo, you're still here, that's why Pilots for 9/11 Truth has sort of marginalized itself. And then as far as the other thing, Aldo, one of the problems that I hear you speaking loudly about constantly is that you criticize other people who branch out from their established professions or their expertise to make comments about certain elements that you and Craig and others have investigated. And you say, well, that person can't comment about that because they're not qualified.
No,
So would you tell me, please, what your qualifications are, and if they are not aligned with all of the aviation, NORAD, demolition, architectural, or any other chemistry, any of the other things, then shouldn't you be muting yourself?
Well, Robin, no, that's not the case, because that's not even what I had said. If you remember what I had said, I was specifically talking about Kevin Ryan and his specific area of research. And I can prove it because he clearly cited information that was erroneous. That was my exact point. He cited the hijacker still being alive. That has been long debunked. That was my only point. As for my expertise lies in my research, and my research speaks for itself.
Okay, that's fair. I had to give you a chance to respond. We got one more person on the stack, and that's Sheila.
I wanted to say something to Barbara. However, I want to stress, Barbara, that I don't want you to respond because I don't want to.
Well, I will.
I don't want you to interrupt while I'm speaking. If you could just let me get it out. I have to say that this to me has been the big, sticking point about your research, which is that I cannot understand how a major event like an explosion of the Pentagon could take place at, say, 9/31, and then not have somebody call 911 or get the emergency services or in any way have some record that, somebody put an alarm and people stream out of the building. I would think if I was in a building and an explosion went off, plus on 9/11, where you know that what's already happened in New York, that you'd just run out of that building as fast as you could, and there would have been thousands of people. Barbara, please. There would have been thousands of people out on the lawn, and this to me just seems like something that I don't see any way to get around that fact.
Well, number one, April Gallup got out as fast as she could, number one. There were a number of people who got out with her that she still meets with, number two. Number three, when you see my paper for Toronto, which I've put 14-hour days and 6 months in since Toronto, it's one of the reasons they don't have a proceedings yet. They're waiting for it. You will see the overwhelming evidence for this. So you're going to see that it's just a fact, that you have to adjust to the fact of the timing. Now, that's number one. Number two, if I'm not incorrect, the 911 calls into Virginia, they still are not willing to release those for good reason because of the timing, just to answer your question. So we need an FOIA to get out those 911 calls and see what time they happened.
Well, we've actually personally investigated this. We actually went to the office, and they're not going to release them. They basically do not exist. So, and by the way, absence of evidence is not evidence. So that
have overwhelming evidence of the early explosion.
Hold on, Barbara. You just said a whole lot of nothing, okay? Because the fact that the fact that April Gallup came out.
Just watch your mouth, Aldo. Watch your mouth.
Hold on. I'm stating a fact.
Watch your mouth. You're talking to Barbara Honegger.
I'll moderate. You don't have to moderate, okay? But please let's keep the tone down here.
I apologize. I didn't mean to insult. I'm saying literally she said a whole lot of nothing in response to Sheila's point.
That is not true.
Hold on. This is moderator. I'm going to ask that we just curtail the discussion for the moment. What I would like to propose is that everybody who's on our listserv right now and anybody who's on the call who would like to get on the listserv can get on it. Please spend some time between now and the next conference call trying to find a way in which we can get a resolution here, that we can actually get a fairly principled debate of the specific items that are controversial here and get them out on the table and let people take a look at both sides in a fair presentation.
I've already told you how to do it. You'll read my paper and then respond to it.
That's
what we don't want. We want the concessions. We want to be able for you to tell us something and then for us to tell you something and neither of us can concede on it.
Here's the way debates are done. there's a thesis or a proposition that one side defends and the other side challenges. So why don't we just make a statement such that, for example, explosions occurred at 9:30. That's your contention, right, Barbara? 9:31, something like that, right?
Sometimes between 9:30 and 9:32.
Okay. So that could be the proposition. And you would defend the proposition with your evidence, and the other side would challenge it with their evidence. Because you guys on the other side, correct me if I'm wrong, Aldo, but you're basically claiming that could not have happened, right? Based
correct.
On the other evidence. So why don't we just make that the proposition, resolve that explosions took place in the Pentagon between 9:30 and 9:32, let Barbara be the affirmative and you guys be the negative, and we'll just have it out on our next conference call.
Well, I
have no extra time, so we can
adjourn. I'm only willing to agree to it once my paper is read by everyone.
Okay. Well, Barbara, but
Barbara,
you know, if you say that
everybody should watch National Security Alert,
exactly.
Anything until they've everybody.
Yeah, exactly. See that?
I agree. Everyone should watch National Security Alert and read my paper. I agree.
I'd like to make one last comment and then
Barbara,
leave. This is Anna
Yaisen. Hold it. Barbara, you really can't make a one-sided request like that, because if you're going to have a debate, people should be able to walk into it sight unseen and listen to your evidence. Listen to the other side's evidence and make up their own mind. That's the way a debate works.
You have to have my agreement to a debate. My turn.
That's correct. I'm asking for your agreement. Well,
I don't think there'd be any way to assure that every person that's going to be on the call will have already read your paper, especially
well,
if it's not
them.
Even done yet.
That's up to them.
Well, in other words, you're saying you don't want to debate yet, is what you're saying, Barbara, right?
I will debate as soon as my paper is done.
Okay. All right, so you're not ready to do it right now. Okay.
Barbara, how long is this paper?
My paper will hopefully be in your hands before the next conference call.
Did you talk about length of the paper, Barbara? How long, how many pages?
I can't tell you yet.
Ballpark?
A lot.
Are we talking like 100 pages, 3 pages?
Look, the evidence is the evidence. You can read it or not as you wish, but I will be happy to debate once it's out and there's been a reasonable period of time for those who want to read it to do so.
Okay, Barbara, can I ask you, did you add any new information or new evidence? Have you discovered something new?
Yes, huge amount of new evidence, yes.
Okay, and that's going to back up the 9:31 time.
No, Aldo, it's going to undermine herself.
Hey, Don, that really wasn't called for.
I think that's okay. Robin.
That's Robin.
Robin, but it wasn't called
Robin?
For, okay? It's not helpful.
I said, no, Barbara, what you're going to put on your paper is information that's going to undermine your original premise.
She's being sarcastic, but that's not helping us move forward, okay?
Please don't do that.
Well, Robin, she didn't respond with an actual answer.
Please don't do that.
Okay, I get the feeling that we're rapidly losing
Robin,
our order.
We are rapidly
losing our order and civility here. I'm very disappointed that we haven't been able to find a happy resolution that will allow us to civilly debate this matter as a coherent unit. So, given that's the case. But
we have. Barbara has simply stated it. She said, once I'm done my paper and it's available to be read, then I will enter into a debate. And if people
debating her choose not to read her paper during the debate, then it's okay.
What's the problem?
The problem is that we don't have that condition met yet, and therefore this debate is becoming very uncivil, in my opinion.
Right.
I'm going to request that we terminate the call at this point, okay?
Right.
So. I appreciate everybody's cooperation earlier tonight, and we did have quite a full agenda. It's been a long conference call, so I'm going to now adjourn the conference call. If people want to stay on and talk informally, they're welcome to do so. Good evening.
Thank you, Ken.
Okay.
Last people standing.
Anybody still on?